The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier and Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us as certified financial planner Jim Salnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Well, welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show. We're back to it being actually Jim and Chris on the show. It's been kind of the Chris show last week on a couple. Jim has joined us again from the beautiful Ohio River Valley. And today on the EDU show, we're going to talk about an IRS notice, which sounds super exciting, right? An IRS notice 2022-53, entitled Certain Required Minimum Distributions for 2021 and 2022, where they're trying to clarify, but yet add more vagueness in other areas, the RMD situation for beneficiaries under the SECURE Act when they were, you know, starting to talk about requiring minimum distributions for those folks in 21 and 22, and people were getting all concerned that they'd missed them and all this kind of thing. So this notice comes out to at least deal with the immediate issue of, does there need to be an RMD from these inherited accounts for 2021 and or 2022, and then what happens 2023 and beyond. So bring Jim in now, again, from the, you would call where you're at the Ohio River Valley, right?
Yes, this is what it is called, the Ohio River Valley.
Yeah. So which side of the state line are you on? Are you on the Ohio side right now?
Oh, I'm well into the Ohio side. Okay. In a little town called Loveland, but not Loveland, Colorado, Loveland, Ohio. Oh.
Is it similar to Loveland, Colorado in any way?
It's tiny like Loveland, Colorado. They have a bunch of people at Valentine's Day who stamp stamps Loveland, Colorado does.
Yeah.
I was driving somewhere and they had photos of the workers. They're usually all women, looks like they're in their 70s and 80s. But they had some photos of the people doing all that. So it's very similar to Loveland, Colorado. I think Loveland, Colorado is bigger than Loveland, Ohio. It's got a little bit of Boulder in it as well, in the sense it's a very outdoor-orientated community. So it's got a little bit of that Boulder, Colorado vibe to it because it's right on what is called the bike path. Apparently it's a bike path that goes all the way to Cleveland. And now they've extended it all the way to Cincinnati. So you can pretty much cut the state of Ohio on this bike path. And Loveland has one of the trailheads. So it's very busy. The house I was staying at originally, I've left that Airbnb and gone into my final one now, where I have about a 10-minute walk to the bike path. But my other house was literally right out the door. I could be on the bike path in less than a minute. But very, very crowded. A lot of people walking, a lot of people running, a lot of people biking. So it definitely had a Colorado vibe in that health and fitness sense. And then restaurants down here were pretty good. Some were so-so, but a lot of other ones were pretty good. It was nice. Not raining any. The dryness followed me like this little mini world.
The gremlins as I drove in your across, computer they follow you around.
As I drove across the country, this dry wave just kind of sat on top of me like the dust following pig pen in a peanut strip. So it did not rain at all last week. It's not supposed to rain this week, and it's not supposed to rain next week. It might towards the end of the week, but of course I'm leaving on Thursday. So who cares if it rains on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? In 2 weeks, I won't be here.
Well, it's still green there, right? You don't need the rain to be green there. There's plenty of wet.
Oh, no, it's very green. There's lots of water around here relative to Colorado. It's a rainforest. But it's just cute that the locals are complaining about how dry it is. And they've been telling me that it hasn't rained in 3 weeks. Now, granted, I've been here a week. So I guess 2 weeks prior to me getting here, it started drying out. And to them, it's dry. And I don't say anything, but I sit there laughing to myself. 3 weeks.
You don't know dry.
you guys are lightweights. Try going 3, 4, 5 months without any moisture. And then you'll be the High Plains desert of Colorado. But anyways, well, so far I like it. People seem to have been nice. The foliage, much, much better this year than it was last year. Still not at peak foliage, as we would call it. But I would say we're at least 40, 50, 60% in some parts of the forest. And there's a few of these isolated trees that are near 80, 90% of peak and just absolutely gorgeous. Bright, bright reds or oranges mixed with yellows. So it's a good time seeing the foliage, which I enjoy in fall.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I'm glad you're having a good time.
That's about it. I certainly don't want to bore our listeners with all of that, but this is tying into retirement planning, and I'll chat about this and my reasoning on other shows, but keep that in mind, folks. I'm doing all of this because I, too, someday will retire. 5 years the earliest, 10 years the latest, and part of my retirement is going to involve relocating out, most likely, relocating out of Colorado. And I'm just trying to get a little jump start on the area and find places where I may want to move to. So hence my being in some little Airbnb in Loveland, Ohio on this fine recording day. All righty. Anything you want to chat about? How was it with me out for a whole week on the podcast or in the office? Everything okay?
Oh, I went. I did full bore Social Security while you were gone. There was a lot of Social Security activity. The cost of living adjustment announcement came out last week, so we talked about that, and there was a bunch of questions I got caught up on, and we're still kind of wrangling with the consequences of this donut hole thing that I keep talking about with the gap years between your wage inflation helping you and before cost of living adjustments start helping you with Social Security, and how that the current spike in inflation might affect certain people. We still have a little more wrap up to do on that. I promised people in the last show that I would put together a numerical example illustrating this, because people are having trouble wrapping their minds around the actual ramifications of what I'm talking about. So have a little more coming up, but that's pretty much what dominated last week.
I had a feeling because we got a boatload, or you got a boatload of emails in sent to me because they come to me first. Mm-hmm. You may have to do another show maybe next week. I don't know. Clarifying it because you've got a lot of questions. And so as I was reading them, I thought to myself, and I haven't listened, folks. I haven't listened to any of the shows Chris has done yet. I just thought, wow, he must have done a lot of Social Security questions or shows because you pretty much got quite a few questions.
Yeah, that's good, though. It means people are listening, and it's something that is striking a nerve. So,
okay. All righty. So what do we want to chat about today? What I simply want to cover, at its face value, this is a very simple 5-minute discussion, but I want to dive a little bit deeper into it, kind of get into the little bit of a rabbit hole, which, again, I do appreciate all emails that have come in over the past several weeks. I know there are many people I have yet to written to thank. I have not forgotten about you. I tried to do something last week that I hardly ever do. and that is actually take the week off and don't communicate with the office. And I think I did a pretty good job of that, did I not? Chris, you probably didn't even hear from me. I don't think I reached out to you.
It was pretty quiet, yeah.
Yeah. Normally, my quote-unquote vacation is me on my cell phone, me on my iPad, checking in every few hours. Rachel, who came with me, my girlfriend, who only stayed a week, made me promise I would not work. And she made it clear that there would be hell to pay. Probably worse than me saying she had wrinkled hands. Remember that one? It would have been worse than that, I think, if I would have actually worked. So I didn't. It was hard, and I didn't. But I congratulate myself, and now I'm trying to get back into it. So there are a lot of emails we got in that I have not had a chance to thank the listeners who shared with us, Chris, if we should do rabbit holes or not. But the overriding consensus, as I mentioned before, is yes, keep doing it. And we're still getting emails to that effect in. But for you to stop repeating yourself as much as you do. People have, you got to watch out for that.
I figured they were going to point that out.
Yes. So they asked me to try to get you to stop repeating yourself. So what I'm going to do is repeat myself in an effort for you to pick up on it, so you can see how annoying it is, and then point out to me when I'm doing it in an effort to get you to stop. Does that seem reasonable?
Oh, that seems totally fair. You've been spending some time at the comedy club in Loveland, Ohio, haven't you?
Yes, it's a wonderful comedy club. There's not much going on in at 9 o'clock on a weekday. Yesterday, I went out to eat in Loveland, when I got there, I wanted to watch Monday Night Football, which I'm not used to East Coast time anymore, which starts at like 8:30 now, whereas back home it's like 6:15, 6:30 in Colorado when that starts. And the bar was packed, so I sat at the bar and I ordered a beer and some dinner, and I'm watching the football game, and all of a sudden I'm looking around. There's nobody there. It was just me and the bartender. And I said, "Where is everyone?" He says, "Well, we're closing." And I looked at my watch. It was like 10 after 9. They just closed a little bit early. Okay. So what kind of rabbit hole are we going to get into on this? Let's chat a little bit about what the IRS recently did, folks. They added some clarity. So I got to give them credit. I will give credit where credit is due. And I'm also not going to throw the IRS necessarily under the bus, because Congress writes the rules. The IRS has to interpret the rules. And Congress, when they wrote the Secure Act and passed it rather in a rush in December of 2019 and said it takes effect January 1st of 2020, I am sure they didn't really cross every T and dot every I. So the IRS had to take this conglomerate of new rules and interpret them. And one of the things that the Secure Act did, and everybody should know this by now, is it pretty much put the knife in the back of what was called the stretch IRA, the ability for your beneficiaries, non-spousal beneficiaries, for most of you, your kids or grandkids, to inherit your retirement account and stretch the payments from it over their remaining life expectancy. So if somebody inherited it who was significantly younger than you, such as your children or grandchildren, they could keep that IRA open for a very long time, 40, 50, 60 years or more. And they just have to take a little bit out every single year, allowing that account to continue to grow tax deferred or tax free if it was a Roth IRA. That was killed. And Chris, you and I had been predicting for years that they would kill it long before Secure Act even appeared. 2019, they kind of rushed it through and they did kill the stretch. Everybody thought they were going to put the 5-year rule in, which always had existed and still to this day exists. And I'll mention later today, perhaps if it comes up, when the 5-year rule would apply. But under the five-year rule, folks, the IRS simply said, if you're a beneficiary and you fell victim to the five-year rule, you have to close the IRA within 5 years of the date of death of the owner. No required distributions during that 5 years. You could take money out or leave it in. It's up to you. But at the end of the 5 years, close it. So it was reasonable, Chris, was it not, that when Secure Act passed and they threw this 10-year rule in, everybody just assumed the rules would what, Chris?
Revert back to those original. Be it would treated like the five-year.
Yeah. Follow the five-year rule, but just change 5 to 10.
Right. I thought that was a reasonable assumption we all were making, because they didn't say any different.
Right. Just, okay, well, instead of 5 years, you got 10 years. And that's what everyone literally thought, myself included, Ed Slott included, many, many other smarter people just thought, okay, well, the IRS is going to say, hey, no required distributions for the first 9 years. Take it out if you want to. Leave it in if you want to. Just make sure at the end of year 10, by December 31st, the entire inherited IRA is closed and all the money is out. That was done to generate revenue. That's why they got rid of the stretch. The government needs money. They get money by taking it from you. Distributions from your IRA. We say this constantly, Chris. We tell our listeners, when you look at your IRA, you see assets, especially you Vanguardian do-it-yourselfers. You see a boatload of Vanguard ETFs, most likely. But the IRS sees what, Chris?
Just a big bag of income waiting to be recognized.
Big bag of income that they want to tax. Yep. You see assets, they see income. By forcing the money in your IRA at your death out faster, they can get their taxes quicker. But also, because the amount of time to keep the inherited IRA open has been drastically cut, they can make bigger and bigger distributions, which causes what to happen, Chris?
Higher taxes.
Higher taxes. Your beneficiaries will have to take, especially if they're your children or grandchildren, will have to take portions of your IRA. And if you have a $1, $2, $3 million IRA, you've got some pretty big dollars or income, if you will, that'll be going to beneficiaries. They have to stack that income on top of their income if they're still working, and most likely they will be, and therefore push them to higher tax brackets. Therefore, the IRS feels we can get, or Congress felt, we can get more revenue. That's what this was all about, generating revenue without actually increasing taxes. Just kind of do it in a way where nobody's going to understand what in the hell it is they're doing. So that's kind of a little bit of a background, folks. And Chris and I joked about this, that the Secure Act was an income-generating mechanism. And SECURE stands for Setting Every Community Up for Retirement. I believe it's excellence, but can you confirm the E is excellence?
I think it's enhancement, but...
Enhancement, yes, not excellence. Setting Every Community Up for Retirement.
Excellence is way too optimistic.
Chris and I asked our listeners to come up with a new E, because this is all about getting money and come up with new E. And we got a ton of words for E, but we have the best, the absolute best. And I still use it to this day. In my opinion, someone changed not only the E, but the R. Excuse me, S-E-C-U. Yeah, the R and the E. He changed it to Setting Every Community Up for Estate Robbery.
That's misspelling secure, but we know what you meant.
Oh, did I? How did I screw that up?
Robbing estates.
Robbery of estates, right. Yeah. All right, I can't spell, apparently. Setting Every Community Up for Robbery of Estates. I just thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, if we look at it glass half full, this is a mechanism that will encourage people to take larger distributions while they're alive, and maybe go spend them on themselves, which is why they amassed the wealth in the first place, unless you're one of those where your goal is to enrich your children, and enriching them through an inherited IRA has become tougher because of the 10-year rule. So this is maybe, you know, if we want to be optimistic, helping those of us retirement planners whose goal is it to encourage people to spend their own money early in life, early in retirement when they can, enjoy it. Maybe we just point this out. Oh, you don't want to hang on to this because of the 10-year rule your kids are going to face. You better take it out and spend it now. I haven't tried that one yet on anybody, but I'll let you know if it works.
Okay, so what is it, folks, that was causing all this confusion? Yes, the 5-year rule was stretched to 10, but here's what happened. Over the summer the IRA of this year, remember, this came out in 2019.
Right.
But in the summer of 2022, the IRS comes out and says, hey, everybody, this is our interpretation of the SECURE Act. And there was a lot of interpretation, but they did cue in on RMDs. There's a lot of other things in their summertime report that they issued, but they really keyed in on RMDs, and they said something that nobody saw coming. They said, we are going to apply, I've given it the acronym ALAR, A-L-A-R, but it is a part of the tax code that exists and always has, and it's at least as rapidly. They said, we are going to apply the ALAR rules to the 10-year rule, the new 10-year rule. They don't apply this, folks, to the 5-year rule. So why? I have no idea. The 5-year rule stays the same. Don't take anything out if you have to fall to the 5-year rule. Take everything out within 5 years. Don't worry about it. But to the 10-year rule, for some bizarre reason, they say, oh, no, 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 no. We're interpreting this different. And we want ALAR to apply at least as rapidly. And what they said was, if somebody inherits an IRA from a decedent who died before their required beginning date, I'm only going to say this once because I'm not supposed to repeat myself. The required beginning date is April 1st of the year following age 72. Age 72 is the year that RMDs begin. So your required beginning date is April 1st of the year following the year you turn 72. If you die before that date and someone who is not a eligible designated beneficiary, which Chris and I will go over in a second, inherits your IRA and you died before your required beginning date, they can just keep that IRA and make sure it's closed by the end of year 10. No required minimum distributions. That's what we thought would apply to everyone. But they threw us a curveball. They said, but if the person who owned the IRA died after their required beginning date, meaning they were subject to required minimum distributions, the IRS wants required minimum distributions to continue from that IRA. That's to them at least as rapidly. Now, to add confusion to this, Chris, you would assume the IRS then would want you to just continue with the remaining life expectancy of the person who died, right? That would make sense. If they're calling it at least as rapidly, you would think the RMD should at least be what the dead guy had to take, would you not?
Yeah, I think anything that or faster meets that at least as rapidly definition.
Right, that's what you would think. But again, that's your mistake, Chris. You thought when it came to government bureaucracies. You don't think. They don't think, so you shouldn't think. It, to them, at least as rapidly simply means RMDs continue. So they're actually going to be based on the life expectancy or remaining life expectancy of the person who inherited it. So they could be significantly smaller if the person who inherited it is significantly younger than the dead guy. But in the eyes of the IRS, that's at least as rapidly. In my eyes, it's not, because it slows it down. You're taking less out, but it's at least as rapidly. So they hit us with that curveball. There's many people out there, Chris, that feel that is not in the law, that is not insecure, that the Secure Act, that the IRS is wrong in that interpretation.
Yeah, I've heard people squawking about they are actually hoping that Congress steps in and says through further legislation, no, 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 this is what we meant. Do it this way. So in Secure Act 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, version A, B, and J, maybe we'll get more influence by Congress and not just an IRS interpretation on this.
Right. And I've read very, very intelligent people saying the same thing, that Congress really needs to step in and set the record straight. Is this what you meant or not?
Yeah.
So here's what that caused, folks. Secure Act took effect January 1st of 2020. Nobody saw this rule coming. And surprisingly, people started dying on January 1st of 2020. Hmm. And these people, they kept dying. Imagine that. And they also owned IRAs. So they were being told, to me, rightfully, that, hey, five-year rule is going to apply to the 10-year rule. Don't worry about it. No RMDs for the first 9 years. Close it by year 10. Then this year, IRS comes out and says, nope, we want, if the owner died after the required beginning date, we want the surviving beneficiary to begin taking RMDs. Mm-hmm. Well, what about the people who died in 2020?
Right.
The beneficiaries needed to take a distribution in 2021, and anybody who died in 2021, the beneficiaries needed to start their distributions in 2022. Remember, folks, the beneficiaries' RMDs begin the year after death. So what about everyone who had to take the RMDs from an inherited IRA, Chris, in 2021 and in 2022?
But they didn't, because they didn't expect this to be the interpretation. Yeah.
So the IRS came out finally a couple weeks ago with 2022-53 and said, hey, if that is you, if you are the beneficiary of an IRA and you are not an eligible designated beneficiary who can stretch the IRA payments, listen to past shows. We explain there are some people who can still do the stretch, folks. If you're not one of them, if you're pretty much a child, a grandchild, a friend, a neighbor, an uncle, a cousin of the IRA owner, you need to start taking RMDs. But if that's you, and you didn't take it for 2021 or 2022. And remember, Chris, 2022 is not over yet. They could have easily came out and said, you got to take them. But they didn't. They said you don't have to. But those are the only people. And just for 2021 and 2022. But what they didn't say, Chris, is what to do in 2023, 24, and beyond.
Yeah, when I read through it, I think they pretty much say, now this isn't the language they used, but stay tuned for news about 2023, I think is kind of what they said. We'll let you know, but we aren't quite decided yet, is kind of the interpretation I had. Otherwise, they'd tell us. They would have come out and said, okay, this is what's happening. We'll let you off the hook for 21 and 2022, which they clearly did. And then this is what you need to do 2023 moving forward. No, they in this same notice said, be on the lookout. We'll let you know what you're going to do next year.
It reminded me of a 1970s sitcom that ended with to be continued. Remember those words?
Right.
To be continued. And you're like, oh, damn it. I got to wait till next week to see what happens.
Right. No binging back then. You were forced to
literally, folks. They have not added any clarity. They just said, if this is you, if you inherited an IRA and you are not an eligible designated beneficiary, because they still must take RMDs, This is now causing a lot of confusion. I've already received emails. I have received emails from people saying, I heard RMDs have been canceled for 2021 and 2022. Mm. Is that correct? No. And if you are an eligible designated beneficiary who can stretch, you still have to take your RMDs for 2021, 2022, and beyond. It's only a very narrow group of people. People who inherited an IRA, thought the 10-year rule would follow the 5-year rule, and didn't take an RMD last year. What amazes me, if they were going, Chris, to mandate these begin in 2023, 4, 5, so on and so forth, they could have just as easily said, look, we're going to excuse last year in 2021 because we didn't even come out with our interpretation until summer 2022. But hey, everybody, before the year ends, you've got to take your RMD in 2022. There was still plenty of time. There was 4 months. They didn't say that. They just said no RMD in 2021, no RMD in 2022. And to me, they put a big to be continued. I don't think they've written the next act. I'm not sure they even know what they're going to say needs to happen in 23, 24, 25 and beyond.
They'll let us know in 2025. And then they retroactively clarify what should have happened back in 2023.
It's crazy. But again, anybody out there who is hearing, thinking, or is believing that RMDs for 21 and 22 have been waived, they haven't. They've just been waived for this small, narrow group of people. They're essentially saying no RMDs were required. But there was also no forgiveness, Chris, or ability for people who tried to be proactive. Mm-hmm. People who said, wow, this proposal came out. I'm going to take my 2021 RMD that I didn't think I had to. I'm going to take it out. I'm going to fill in 5389. I'm just trying to guess. What is the get out of jail free card form? 5329, right? 5329?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to take out my 2021 RMD based on what the IRS said in summer of 2022. I didn't realize I had to take it. I'm going to take it out. I'm going to file form 5329. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sign that form. I'm going to ask for forgiveness, but I'm going to declare this RMD on my taxes, and I'm going to be proactive and take out my 2022 RMD while I'm at it.
Yeah.
Those people, the people who actually tried to do the right thing, as usual, got screwed.
Yep. Because now you can't put it back.
Nope. But people who did the reckless thing, and I don't want to necessarily say not taking the RMD was reckless, but in light of what we know, it was the wrong thing, get rewarded. I don't know why governments insist on rewarding bad behavior and punishing good behavior.
Well, I think part of this falls back directly on the lawmakers themselves, not so much on the IRS, because the IRS takes a while to do this. Congress should know that they take a while to do these interpretations. So for them to pass something in the middle of the night in December that applies January 1st and think that everything's just going to work out fine, they have a fundamental misunderstanding of how bureaucracies work. And so I place the blame solely on Congress and those who push this through in this haphazard way without the clarity needed that would avoid IRS having to make these interpretations over time. That's where it all starts. They should have given, hey, we're going to do this, and it's not going to go into effect until 2022 instead of 2020. Give everybody time to figure it out, adjust your planning, tax strategies, blah, 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 blah. We can't spring this on you overnight. Nope, that's not how they do it. They just sprung it on us, sprung it on everybody. Hope it all works out for you. We're going to move on to the next thing that we can think through halfway. So I'm kind of pessimistic today, if you can't tell.
So anyways, I wanted to add a little bit of clarity, and hopefully that did. But we still don't. We just have clarity for 21 and 22. No clarity for 23, 24, 25, and beyond. The thought is the IRS will announce by the end of this year or early next year what they want to do in 2023 and beyond. Don't bank on it. This is a government bureaucracy. They could get bogged down and we don't hear from them for a very long time. But they could have just said beginning in 2023, continue taking them or start taking them. There'll be no forgiveness. They didn't say that, folks. So we still don't know what to do under the 10-year rule. My gut tells me they are going to require them, but I don't know. So anyways, let's delve a little bit deeper, I thought, Chris. Let's go into, and I'm getting a lot of this. I read a couple of good reports on this from the Lineberg Service. And I'm just going to read some of the things that they pointed out. A couple of cases, little hypothetical scenarios where you can kind of see how this plays all through. I thought that was kind of cute. Mm-hmm. So do we have a little more time to just kind of walk through that before we wrap this up?
Yeah.
Okay. Before I get into that, let's just get into a few definitions. We've talked about what an RMD is, required minimum distribution. That's the minimum, not the maximum, the minimum amount you have to take out of a retirement account. Required beginning date, we talked about that. But I've used language, eligible designated beneficiary or designated beneficiary on today's podcast, but I didn't define them. We have in the past, but real quickly, whenever you see the words designated benefit or the, yeah, two words, designated beneficiary, it's not one word. Whenever you see the two words designated beneficiary, what should you substitute in their place? Just remove designated beneficiary out of the sentence and put what word in, Chris?
Human.
Can you remember? Huh?
Human.
Human.
Yeah. Human.
Human. Just put the word human in. So designated beneficiary, I'm getting this from Lineberg. He says designated beneficiary, and then he writes the definition next to it. A beneficiary who is a person. So if you just took designated beneficiary and put the word human, it would say a beneficiary who is a person. Of course, they're a human. A human is a designated beneficiary, an eligible designated beneficiary, which was a whole new class created under the SECURE Act. They are eligible humans. What are they eligible for, Chris?
The good old-fashioned stretch.
Right. A lot of people say the stretch IRA is dead and gone. It's not. And if I said it's dead and gone, I apologize. I think I said it put a knife in the back of it, but it didn't kill it. Yeah. Kind of like
it's hobbled it. Yeah.
They hobbled it. It's the old guy in Monty Python at the beginning. I'm not dead yet.
Oh yeah.
It's that guy.
There's still one leg left.
Right. So the stretch IRA is being carried out down to the wheelbarrow, where the man is yelling, bring out your dad, bring out your dad. But the stretch IRA is saying, I'm not dead yet. It's almost dead. They're getting ready to fully kill it in the future. It's not dead yet. The people who can still use the stretch are called eligible designated beneficiaries or eligible humans. We're not going to get deep into it. I'm just going to name who they are. Any surviving spouse of the decedent. A child of the decedent who has not yet reached age 21. Someone who is disabled. Someone who is chronically ill. And there are very strict definition of disability and chronic illness. You can go to the law and see them or Google it, and there'll be explanations. But very, very strict rules on what they consider to be disabled or chronically ill. Or someone, and this confuses everyone, I get to sometimes stop and think about this and say it slowly. Someone who is not more than 10 years younger than the decedent. Okay. In other words, not a child or a grandchild, but pretty much a brother or a sister or a cousin or a classmate, someone you went to school with and became really good friends with and is probably your age and or generation. Those people are eligible designated beneficiaries and can still stretch. So keep that in mind. Successor beneficiary is pretty much a person or a beneficiary who inherits an IRA from someone who already inherited it from someone else.
Yeah.
They're a successor beneficiary. They're not a contingent. They're not a primary. They are a successor. They inherited it from someone else who inherited it from the owner. Okay. And then a non-designated beneficiary, again, just replace designated beneficiary with human, a non-human is a beneficiary who is not a human. Very easy. They're not human. They're an oak tree. They're a dog. Literally, people can name a tree and a dog as beneficiary of the IRA. We say that all the time. They would be a non-designated beneficiary. But more likely than not, they're your estate or a trust. And on a trust, it's a trust that's not a see-through trust that does not qualify to be beneficiary of an IRA. So pretty much, I mean, they could theoretically be a tree or a dog, but more likely than not, they're your estate or a trust that doesn't qualify. So those are just some terms to keep in mind. So let's just kind of play through some of these hypothetical samples. Okay, Chris?
Okay.
So let's say we have someone, and I'm going to use I'm not going to use the names that they use, because the names in here, I don't know why people do that. They all begin with like the same letter, Sally, Susie, and Sarah. I mean, they're just too close together. They're confusing. So we're going to use, some will call him George and Jim. How's that?
Okay. Totally
random name, Jim. Just came to me out of nowhere. Let's just say George.
Wow.
I don't know.
Are you sure you're going to be able to pull this off?
I'm 2 hours ahead of you.
Dynamically changing the names as you read.
George.
Yeah.
Let's say George died in 2020 and he was 55. How old are you, Chris? Just curious.
55.
Wow. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. Let's just say George, who had no hair. I'm just making this up. Just random. Just coming to me. Had no hair. Mm-hmm. Wore polo shirts no matter where the hell he went. Had a polo shirt on. Let's just say his job was teaching at a local college, perhaps. Let's say he died.
Uh-huh.
And he's 55. And he left his IRA to this other dude named Jim. Uh-huh. Let's just say Jim was stunningly handsome and just 35 years old. Okay? Is Jim an eligible designated beneficiary, Chris?
No.
Nope.
He's not. He's too young. He's more than 10 years younger than George. So that was his only get out of jail free card, and he didn't get it.
Right. Even though he has hair, even though he was better looking, mm-hmm. even though he was significantly younger, he's still than George, this hypothetical George. He cannot stretch.
So he's got the 10-year rule applying to him, but he doesn't have to take RMDs because George hadn't hit required beginning date yet.
Exactly.
Is that where we're going with this?
That's where we're going. Oh. Pretty straightforward, folks. So this hypothetical Jim with luscious hair gets the IRA from the old guy in the polo shirt, and he can just let it sit there if he wants for 9 years, mm-hmm. and he must fully close it by year 10, because George in this case was not past his required beginning date. Very straightforward, very simple. So far, so good?
Yeah.
Okay, let's change it a little bit. Let's just say George instead was 74 years old. And let's just say Jim was 40, a little bit older. But George is now past his required beginning date.
Mm-hmm.
And his son, Jim, is still not an eligible designated beneficiary.
No.
Because he's not more than 10 years younger.
He's not less.
He's not less. Yeah, that always screws me up, that one. He's not less than 10 years younger. No.
Yeah.
He's not older. He would have to be older or within 10 years of the age.
I know.
Am I saying it wrong? All right, I'll just skip over. Everybody knows what I mean.
Yeah.
It's not what I say. It's what I mean. So again, he's not an eligible designated beneficiary, but there's one key difference in this scenario, Chris. What is it?
Well, poor George, who's died for the second time now, is past his required beginning date. So son Jim, if we're using those same names, has to take RMDs during that 10-year period. The account still has to be closed within 10 years, but it can't just sit there that entire time with complete flexibility for Jim. He's got to at least take RMDs out based on Jim's age, not on George's age.
Yep. Excellent.
See, I've been listening. I've been following you.
Perfect. I want you to follow me. All right, let's switch it around. Mm-hmm. And here is where Lienberg uses Sally, Susie, and someone else, and it's just too close. So we'll use female names. You want to use Georgette and okay. Georgia? How's that?
Those are still the same sound. You can't do that. You got to go Georgette and Pauline and I don't know. You need a third person?
Yeah, because one of them. So we'll get the third person later. All right. So let's do. It's got to be a name that I'm going to remember. Let's say Georgette and Lisa. How's that? Georgette and Lisa.
Okay.
Let's just say there's a person, folks, 75-year-old Georgette,
mm-hmm.
passes away.
Yeah.
After 2020, all these rules apply after 2020.
Does Georgette have hair? Because we knew that about George.
Yeah, no, Georgette had luscious long hair, yes. Okay. Very similar to Jim in the previous examples.
Okay,
so let's just say Georgette was 75. She left her IRA to her sister, Lisa,
yeah,
who's 70.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So far so good?
Yes.
What is Lisa?
Her sister, her younger sister. No, she's actually an eligible designated beneficiary. So Lisa can stretch. That thing that we thought was dead, it's not dead yet. Lisa can actually use the stretch rules based on her age, 70. And we're not going to get into the nuances of how to calculate it, but essentially she can stretch it over her life expectancy because she qualifies in that group that still can stretch.
Does she have to take, let's just say Georgette died in 2020, Chris, not this year. Let's just say she died 2 years ago. Under 2022-53 that just came out said, hey, no RMD in 2021 and 2022. Does Lisa, who under the stretch rules must begin taking RMDs the year after death of the owner. Mm-hmm. So if Georgette died in 2020, folks, Lisa, her sister, who's 5 years younger, had to have started taking RMDs in 2021.
Yep.
And here it is 2022 as well. Does she have to take them, Chris?
Yes, if she wants to stretch.
Yes. The only people who were exempted from RMDs are designated beneficiaries, folks. Humans, not eligible designated beneficiaries, are humans who are eligible to stretch. If you're going to stretch, you must continue with the RMD rules. And that makes sense because those rules never changed, Chris. They're not what's up for debate here. Congress just said in SECURE, these people can continue under the old rules. So why would the IRS come out, folks, and waive RMDs for people whose rules have been well established for over 15 years, over 20 years, I think the stretch existed, I'm not sure. Well-established rules, no ambiguity there. Congress specifically said they can continue to stretch under the old rules. Those RMDs continue. So in this case, with Georgette dying, because the sister, Lisa, is an eligible designated beneficiary because she's not more than 10 years younger, she can stretch, but she must continue with the RMDs. Hopefully that makes sense to everyone. It makes sense to me. Is there anything you want to add to it?
So far, I think it's pretty clean.
Okay. All right. So if we go down there, let's look at this next one. This next one is kind of similar, just change things around a little. I'll use the actual names that Lienberg uses because they're different enough. He uses Pauline and Jackie, okay?
Really? He uses Pauline?
Yeah, why?
Because when I said Pauline before, you hadn't told me that yet, and I haven't read that article. That's a weird coincidence there that Pauline popped out of my head. And you've got an example that actually uses a Pauline now, because that's not a super common name. That's weird. I need to go buy a lottery ticket.
Okay. Well, I don't know how that popped into your head, but you are clairvoyant. Pauline and Jackie. Let's just say so. He paints a little different picture here. Let's say Pauline died at age 65. Mm-hmm. Okay. In 2015. Well before Secure, mm-hmm. Pauline named as beneficiary her 40-year-old daughter, Jackie. Mm-hmm. Under the old rules, Jackie could have done what?
Stretch.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Jackie can continue stretching over her life expectancy.
Because yeah, she started stretching before 2020.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, under the old rules, Jackie could have kept her IRA open for 42 years, almost 43, 42.7 under the old rules. Yep. Okay? So that IRA that she inherited in 2015 could have stayed open for another 42.7, let's just round up, folks, to 43. Another 43 years, quite a long time. Mm-hmm. You can see from a revenue standpoint right there, folks, why Congress, not the IRS, Congress makes the rules, IRS just interprets them. Why Congress wanted to get rid of the stretch. Mm-hmm. They want the income taxes on your IRA, and they want it right away, and they're not going to wait around for it. So they said, 43 years, that's nuts. We got to get this money out quicker. Okay. Now, what happens if Jackie, the daughter, dies last year, 2021, mm-hmm. and Jackie named her daughter? And here's where it gets confusing because he uses Jill. Let's call Jill something different. Pam, how's that? No, Pauline and Pam is too close.
I think Jackie Diane. And Jill is fine because Jack and Jill. But okay, Diane, that's fine.
Diane.
I'm writing this down to keep track of them.
Good, because I can't.
So Diane is Pauline's granddaughter, was Jackie's Correct. Daughter. Jackie inherited it back in 2015. Has been stretching happily this whole time until suddenly at a very young age, actually, 46 years old, because just 6 years later, she dies in 2021 in Jim's example here. Now we have Diane... son of Jackie, daughter of Jackie, granddaughter of Pauline, inheriting an IRA that had previously been stretching as a beneficiary IRA.
Here's where it might get a little confusing. Thank you for that summary. That's better than I could do. Here's where it could theoretically get confusing, folks. The original owner of the IRA died before their required beginning date. Mm-hmm. The rules are quite specific. If the original owner of an IRA dies before their required beginning date, the beneficiary has 10 years to close it and does not have to take any RMDs. But enter Jackie, the original beneficiary, the daughter of Pauline. She was eligible to stretch, so she started RMDs. Mm-hmm. Now she died. She didn't live 42 years. She inherited in 2015. Sadly, in this example, she died last year in 2021. Mm-hmm. The daughter, who we're now calling Diane, the daughter, does she get to say, hey, my grandma, who was the original owner, died before her required beginning date? I have 10 years to close this, but because she died before, I don't have to take any. Or does she have to say, wait a minute, I'm a successor beneficiary. And because the previous beneficiary was taking RMDs, I actually have to continue. What do you think happens there, Chris?
I'm a little less confident on this one, but my understanding is she does have to continue the RMDs and has a 10-year rule being applied to her because Correct. She has inherited it after 2020. Even though the original death of the original owner was pre-2020, pre-Secure Act, she now is affected by the Secure Act. And because RMDs were started and must continue for Jackie,
because of that's ALAR, where ALAR at comes least in, as rapidly.
And she's got to do RMDs along the way and then finally, ultimately, close it in its entirety and distribute it within 10 years.
Correct.
Yes.
And even though she inherited it in 2021 and the IRS has said RMDs for 2021 and 2022 don't have to be taken, in this case, they do, folks, even though the original IRA owner died at 65, well before their required beginning date, that doesn't matter. What matters is the first successor benefit, the first primary beneficiary, rather, the daughter in our example, what was her name? Jackie, I believe. Jackie, she was taking RMDs, so Diane must continue, but must fully close the inherited IRA within 10 years. Must continue RMDs for the first 9, fully close the rest in year 10. Anyways, I just wanted to give some of those examples, if you will. Mm-hmm. I thought they were interesting. I'm not going to get into it. Ed Slott came out with one other example. It's interesting. It just makes you realize how confusing these rules are. We don't have to get to it. I can get to it on another show. I think okay. We have to wrap up, don't we?
Yeah, we're pushing our hour here, so it's time to wrap this one up. Plus, your cleaning lady has started vacuuming the house.
My cleaning lady?
You either have a leaf blower or a vacuum cleaner or something. It's not very loud, but...
I can't hear it. I got headphones on.
Oh, maybe that's on my end. Maybe my cleaning lady is cleaning.
Yeah, I took my headphones
off. Our listeners won't hear it because I'm going to filter it out in post-production. But yeah, apparently someone decided to vacuum part of my house. I thought it was coming from your end.
Okay, no. I took my headphones off real quick and listened. There's no one here cleaning. Okay. I'm in an Airbnb. No, I don't get a cleaning lady.
No, it's on my end. I thought it was done at my house earlier. No, it's fired back up. So okay. It's all good.
Anyways, folks, I hope this was helpful. It's kind of a light show today. The big thing, and I've said this before, and I will say it again. The RMD rules now under Secure Act, and I assume Secure 2, which I do feel will pass by the end of the year, once the election is over and they come back from the Thanksgiving holiday, they'll jam, most likely, Secure Act right at the end of November or the first 2 weeks of December before the Christmas holiday, Secure Act 2. Once all of these pass, hopefully we'll get a little bit of clarity. But Secure 1 created an RMD nightmare. Don't try to study all these rules. I like to go over them, give you these little scenarios, which in these particular scenarios, I didn't create myself. I got them from a service I subscribe to. But in the past, Chris and I have given scenarios. Today, we've given some non-original scenarios. The key is we just want you to know the rules are confusing. If you inherit an IRA, meet with someone who knows the rules and get the correct advice. If you're going to leave an IRA to your children, leave them a note as well. Let them know these rules are crazy and difficult and they got to get good and proper advice. I strongly recommend that. Don't burden yourselves trying to remember this. I'm trying to remember it, and it drives me nuts, especially when they come out and change things. Or sometimes, Chris, you can read one very knowledgeable author. there's their opinion, and someone else is saying something almost totally different. And they're interpreting the same rule. So there's still not enough clarity yet. Ed Slott likes to point out the last major change to RMD rules that was passed in the 80s didn't get final clarity. What was it, Chris? 12 years later or something like that, he said. I talked about it on a previous show.
Yeah, it was a darn long time. Yeah.
It was well over a decade. And he likes to keep pointing that out. So don't burden yourself trying to remember all the rules. All that you have to remember is they're very confusing. So if you inherit one, go see someone. If you're going to leave one, leave your children a note or your spouse a note that, hey, these rules are confusing. They have till December 31st of the following year to figure it all out, so they don't have to necessarily rush, but point out to them that they need to meet with someone and iron out how the required minimum distributions are going to operate. Because a lot's going to depend on the age of the person who died, the age of the person who inherited it, the beneficiary designation status of the person who inherited it. Are they an eligible designated beneficiary, a designated beneficiary, or a non-designated beneficiary? It gets so confusing. That's really what we wanted to capture. And for those of you sending us emails asking if RMDs have been abolished for 21 and 22, no, just for a small select group of non-spouse beneficiaries of inherited IRAs.
Excellent. Well, perfect. We stretched talking about an IRS notice into a one-hour show. Not many places are going to do that. So thanks for sticking with us. Hopefully added some clarity to your situation if this affects you or you know someone that it affects. But I think, Jim, that's great advice that this stuff is so confusing. Plus, even if you tried to figure it out ahead of time and leave a note for your kids, the rules are going to change by the time you pass away, maybe. So they're trying to anticipate all that and build it into some kind of written instructions, I think, is not the right approach. I think sending them to someone who's staying on top of this kind of stuff and can provide them with proper tax and retirement plan distribution advice when the time comes is a great idea. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks for calling in from the beautiful Ohio River Valley. Enjoy the fall weather out there. And you're joining me this week for the Q&A show, correct?
I will do the Q&A show. And I think I can do next week's EDU show, but I will not be able to do next week's Q&A. Is Bob going to come on next week?
Next week's Q&A is going to be Bob and I doing a tax-focused Q&A because we have a pile of tax questions that we need to get to. So we'll tackle that next week when you're not available on that one day, but we'll put together some nice questions for this week here.
Perfect. So, alrighty, folks. Everybody have yourselves a great day, and we'll be in touch with you another couple of days for the Q&A show.
Yep, sounds good. Be back with you next week with a new EDU show, but just in a few days for Q&A. Everybody take care.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Salmier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Salmier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, HELPS.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services services offered through Jim Solnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.